Good morning. I've always loved the book of Job. If for any reason, it's a really good story. It's a story about perseverance and about all kinds of things. It's also a story that we can often relate to in bits and pieces when bad things happen to us or when stuff goes on. And it's also a story that we've sort of extrapolated a little bit from, but maybe don't understand the whole thing. How many of you ever heard the saying, God will never give us more than we can handle? Anybody ever heard that? Right. I've never liked that saying. Let me tell you why. Because what it sort of implies is that God is completely in control and God is pulling the strings of everything we do, and that no matter what happens to you, it's really God's fault. Because God's testing you, right? And the test is that you're going to be given things, and this stuff is going to happen to you, and you're never going to get quite enough. It's just that you have to just sort of, you know, gussy up to what's going on, and then you're going to be fine. But what happens when you're sitting there, and you're facing something, and you really can't handle it? Because I'm willing to bet there's people in the room that have gone through something that they couldn't handle. And I don't know that we want to attribute that to God, that somehow God is giving us that. Think about that for a minute. Because that's, when we look at the story of Job and we take that lesson from it, we really miss the point of the story. Because the point of the story is, really awful things are going to happen to us. And part of it, our call, is to try to be righteous. Righteous means not to be right, but righteous means to be faithful. To have, as we hear in a couple of places in Scripture today, to have integrity. To stay with who we are. To continue to be in the belief system that we have. To continue to honor God in all that we do. That in the midst of the suffering or the challenges or the things that we're going through, it is somehow to hold on to what's dearest to us. Sometimes, life is more difficult than we can think. In the gospel for today, this is one of the more challenging gospels to preach on because I can tell you right now there are people in the room who are divorced or know much about divorce. There are people in the room who might be going through a divorce, who might be challenged with the relationship that they have, and often this comes up and it seems very harsh. And sometimes the challenge is we don't always get underneath what Jesus is saying. In other words, this particular gospel story is not isolated in the rest of the story. What I mean by that is that there's lots of story before and lots of story after, in which Jesus is continually being tested by the Pharisees and Sadducees and being asked questions to trap him. And on this particular time, they come in and they say, is it lawful to divorce? And it's a trick question. And so any lawyers in the room will appreciate this because you might know something about trick questions, right? Maybe not. So it's a trick question. Because either Jesus is going to say plainly what's in the law, or he's going to give some new interpretation, and they're laying a very clever trap, as there are several clever traps that happen. What should we pay our taxes? Well, if he says, no, you shouldn't pay your taxes, then the Romans will get him. If he says, yes, you pay your taxes, and they'll say, well, with what? You know, and it's not the right money, and there's all kinds of different layers of these questions. And Jesus gives a justice answer that in the context makes a lot of sense. Marriage was thought of differently in Jesus' time. Most marriages were arranged and were not for love. Most marriages were about exchanging property and really not about the relationship. Most marriages were about survival and not having a companion. And rights were different. Women in the time of Jesus had very little rights in the relationship. They had such little rights that they often couldn't own property. They were unable to make claims for themselves. And so when Jesus is challenged by this, he says, should we be able to divorce? He says, because of your hardness of heart, Moses gave you this, the ability to divorce. Which echoes back to the time when the people were constantly complaining to Moses about every little thing they possibly could. And they made it really easy. It's not like the divorce of our time. Here's how you might get divorced in Jesus' time. You might write it down and say, I divorce you. Or sometimes just say it out loud. And that's it. And what happens to the woman? She's homeless. By the rules of society, she's not really allowed to marry again. She's cast out. She's without property. She would be without. And in some ways, it's almost a sentence to incredible poverty and being cast out of the community. So how Jesus answers is about justice. And it's consistent with the other things that he says throughout the Gospels about how we are to care for one another and to reach out and to be a community. He says, don't do it. Don't cast out. And then there's this jarring thing that happens in the Gospel. It moves quickly from this story, and all of a sudden there's children coming up, and they're trying to touch him. And the apostles are like, don't let him. And what does Jesus say? Don't ever stop that from happening. If you let the little child go away, don't push them out. Let them come. For if you receive the kingdom as this child receives it, then you receive the kingdom as I want you to receive it. You see, the Pharisees have tried to set a trap, and then the disciples do exactly what the Pharisees are in trouble for doing, and they're trying to lay the groundwork and say, you can't come closer to God. It's another little clever twist. But let the little children come and touch and see. So in Job's story, we have the story about living with faith and living with hope and living with integrity. And in the gospel, we have a story about being brought into the kingdom and being loved by God. We've had another tough week in our society, haven't we? We live in such a violent world. In our own town, a number of people were shot over the weekend. We had another school shooting in Oregon. And if you were to watch the news or any television show, it seems to be filled with violence. Even the fictional stories or the fictional shows, maybe the fictional news, is filled with violence. And what are we as people of faith to make of this? How are we to respond? What are we to do? Now, part of the challenge here is if I come down on any particular side right now, half of you, or maybe a few more, depending on which side I pick, might be really bothered. You might not even be able to hear what I have to say. And the other half might say, that's great, but you didn't go far enough. Because we don't know how to talk about this. We don't know how, as a society, to talk about our violence with each other. And I think in some ways the gospel is telling us something. I didn't choose the readings for the day, but I think they're telling us something. And that is, in our particular corner of the world, of the kingdom, is to have integrity and to have faith and to have justice. And sometimes that means taking a tremendous risk in our lives to be people of peace, even in the face of violence. We have to be careful not to scapegoat somebody. You know what that term means? It comes from the Bible. There's a story in Leviticus about the community that would gather, and they would find a goat, the poor thing, and then they would cast all of the community's sins on the goat, and they'd chase it out of the town, and then the rabbi would go and would kill the goat. And that would take care of things for a while, right? And if you've ever been in a workplace, you know, there's always somebody somewhere that you got to get rid of, because then once you get rid of them, everything will be better, right? It's called scapegoating. And sometimes as a society, we can try to find somebody to blame. If we just get rid of them, then everything gets better. So if I come down really clearly on any kind of political issue, somebody in here will see me as a they, or we might see each other as a they, and we'll have a way to do this, and we'll begin to scapegoat the problem. Well, it's this, or it's that, or, you know, pretty soon Hitler gets brought to the argument, right? And somehow we say, you know, all of these different things, and we don't listen, and we can't get to the heart of the matter. I don't want to preach anymore about a shooting. This is the fourth or fifth time this year that this has come up. I want to talk about peace. I want to talk about love. I want to talk about integrity. I want to be able to make light of the Royals or the Chiefs or K-State or KU, or I want to laugh. But we know the pain that that community in Oregon is going through, don't we? A shooting not that long ago in our own community, targeted at people of faith. Loss. Shock. So what can we do? What if we have to hear in the story of Job that even in the midst of suffering that might not be so close to us, but that we understand that we're called to be a people of peace? What if we're called to a life of faith and hope, even in the midst of a society that's so violent? What if we're called to bring the love of God's kingdom into the places where we reside, even though it might be difficult and challenging? To me, that's at the heart of the story for today. That we become, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in the stores that we go to, people of peace and integrity. That we work for justice. That we show up. We're talking about a particular book in adult form for a while in the class that I'm teaching by Brené Brown. It's a book that talks about the courage of showing up. And she uses a great image about being in the arena. In other words, coming down and being willing to get in the middle of whatever's going on and to speak our truth and to be who we are, despite the fact that we might fail. And she continues to go on and talk about resilience and how we can get up again and be resilient in the face of our adversities. And the book goes on and talks about different ways that we can strengthen ourselves and be about that. And then she continues and talks about how it's an act of faith to get up again. How many of you know about bullying in the schools? Anybody? Anybody ever been bullied by somebody in the school? Anybody ever bully somebody? Admit it. You probably have. That's where a lot of this starts. I'm not scapegoating the kids, by the way, but it's often in the simplest times, even in kindergarten or preschool, where we begin this challenge. How many of you have left a neighbor out of activities or been left out? How many of you have picked on somebody in your workplace or maybe given them harder projects or more challenges because whatever reason? How many of you have been that person? Think of all the places that we go in our lives in which we have a chance to show up to the arena and to be people of faith and hope and light. Diana Butler Bass, I'm not going to say it right. It's a hard word to say, Diana Butler Bass, so here we go. Talks about how in our time, if we approach all the problems of the world as an individual, we'll fail. But she says somehow in community, we'll succeed. And that in this particular time, to face the violence in our society as communities of faith or as communities of a whole is the only way in which we can approach this. Because we want to close our eyes. We don't want to see poverty as maybe a problem for violence. We don't want to see that some of the young people in our world don't have a lot of hope and faith, and that they turn to violent ways. We don't want to deal with racism and all that that entails, because it's a difficult conversation, and we might have to admit the change ourselves. We don't want to admit political failure on either side. We don't want to admit our need to really deal with these things. But the only way we can is in community. In other words, we're called as people of faith to show up to the arena. To show up with our understanding as the disciples understood Jesus saying today that all the children are brought to God. Because when we really listen to that, we begin to see that those around us are also children of God. Even those that most annoy us. And we see them as equals. We see them as our fellow person, as our fellow human, as our fellow struggler who's just trying to get through and to handle the things they've been given. Then we see the world differently. But we can't step back. We can't give up, and we can't hold back. So I want to challenge you in the coming week to pray about this, to think about where you show up in the arenas in your life, about what it means to be a child of God and to be a child of peace, what it means to work in society for greater good, for greater community, for the right things. And what it means to stand up for violence for you. I think it's the only way we can take a step forward. And if you need encouragement, think of Job. Job has integrity. He's given disease, he's given famine, his family is destroyed, his community is destroyed, and he holds on to his faith. And that somehow by doing so, we hear his story again, and we are strengthened. We are strengthened because we together can face that world. So have faith and have hope. And say what you can in the arena, and peace can come, and justice will happen. Amen.